Psalm number 2. From there we will declare the glory of the Lord. While the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing, the kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. Amen. We say Jesus is Lord. Somebody say that.
Jesus is Lord.
Say Jesus is the King of Kings.
Jesus is the
Lord of Lords.
Jesus is the Lord of Lords.
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
Jesus is the Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world.
The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world.
Let's make these declarations. Jesus died for my sins.
Jesus died for my sins.
Because of him.
Because of him.
I'm a righteous person.
I'm a righteous person.
That means I'm acceptable before the Father.
That means I'm acceptable before the Father.
Say Jesus died for my sins.
Jesus died.
He is my Lord.
He is my Lord.
He is my Savior.
He is my Savior.
I'm following his will for my life.
I'm following his will for my life.
Say, because of him.
Because of him.
I have hope of eternal life.
I have hope of eternal life.
I have eternal life.
I have eternal life.
I have the hope of resurrection.
I have the hope of resurrection.
Say, because of him.
Because of him.
My tomorrow is bright.
My tomorrow is bright.
Because of him.
Because of him.
My tomorrow is secure.
My tomorrow is secure.
Because of him.
My works will please the Father.
Because of him.
Because of him.
Fear has been banished.
Fear has been banished.
Say it again. Because of him.
Because of him.
Because of Jesus Christ.
Because of Jesus Christ.
Fear has been banished.
Fear has been banished.
I am not afraid.
I am not afraid.
I need you to say this. Say, I have been forgiven.
I have been forgiven.
I have been cleansed.
I have been cleansed.
I have been made holy.
I have been made holy.
I have been made righteous.
I have been made righteous.
Not because of my works,
not because of my works,
but because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because of the Lord Jesus.
And this morning,
I
give him thanks again, and
I give him praise
in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we come this morning with our hearts open to receive insight, to receive wisdom, to receive the infusion of the Spirit of God into our hearts again. Fill us, Lord, with fresh bread from heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, because we believe the Lord will do that, we declare boldly as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I say the Lord is good. Please take your seats. We're about to kick off with today's teaching. All right, once again, good morning. I'll be honest with you, the way this declaration was going, I was already getting blessed. All right. I have a topic for today's teaching. Pray the second prayer that I will follow it. I'm talking about the power of hope. What did I say?
The power of hope.
The The power of hope. The power of hope. The power of hope. Now, I want us to look at one particular scripture, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Luke, chapter 21. Now, I'm going to take a very long one, but I won't read everything. Is that okay? I'm going to verse 28, there, 29, thereabout. But I'm going to start from my own verse. I'll stop in verse 28. Now, Jesus was describing the things that will happen. Yeah, let me start from the beginning, verse 7. But please, because it's a very long read, I will jump to the areas that are most necessary for the point the Lord wants us to make this morning. Now, the disciples questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen?" Because this was after he said that this beautiful temple they are looking at, a day is coming that everything there will be torn down and not one stone will be left on top of another. So they said to him, "When will it happen?" He said in verse 8, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am he.' And then they will also say, 'The time is near.'" He said, "Do not go after them." So when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified. Please notice that. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. In verse 10, it says, "Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes, you know, plagues and famines, terrors and great signs from heaven. But all these things," he said, "before all these things, they will lay hands on you. So you will go into persecution and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake." Verse 16 says, "But you will be betrayed even by brothers, parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death." He said, verse 20, "But when you see Jerusalem," now a lot of things he said will happen. And this really happened literally. This really happened. Do you get it? Everything I've said so far happened then. We're not looking forward to that one happening as a new thing. Those words were fulfilled because he said, "All these things will happen. Don't worry, the end hasn't come and all that." And I said, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies," now that will happen around 70 AD. So everything he said before now happened before AD 70. Is that okay? Yeah. And I said, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave. For those who are in the country," he said, "and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance." That is when you see the armies surround Jerusalem. Those are the days of vengeance. "So that all things which are written will be fulfilled." He said, "Woe to those who are pregnant, because they can't run, right? And to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to these people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." He said, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world." It appears like it's a break in prophetic talk here, all right? It has ended that one about Jerusalem being destroyed. We now talked about something else, I think. But let's talk about that. Men fainting from fear, verse 26, "and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So there's a break between 24 and 25. "But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." I believe there are two prophetic words here. Now stop the reading. But I read the whole thing beginning from the beginning to show you that the Lord described calamity and trouble that may come. Then in verse 25, he began to tell us about science, I believe, of the end time. Now, because this time around, if you see the first portion, was talking about what will happen before the destruction of Jerusalem. Then this one is talking about what will happen before the coming of the Son of Man. Can you see that? Two different things, all right? Before the coming of the Son of Man, there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, dismay among nations. Talking about perplexity. He said, and here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. Strange things will happen. Said people will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see, I've switched to New Living Translation, please. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up. Your salvation is near. Look at what he said there. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Straighten up and do what? Lift up your heads. Please, I want you to preach with me this morning. This morning you are going to preach with me. Somebody in the house is going to preach with me this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, straighten up.
Straighten up.
Turn to another neighbor, say straighten up.
Straighten up.
Turn to the first neighbor, say lift up your head.
Lift up your head.
Because your redemption draws near.
Because your redemption draws near.
Now I want you to notice some things there. He says straighten up. Lift up your head. Maybe I should retitle my message, straighten up, lift up your head. It's very important. Straighten up, lift up your head. It is forbidden for a Christian to be bowed down because of circumstances. It's forbidden for a Christian to be bowed down because of fear. It is forbidden for a believer to be bowed down because of things happening around. Anytime you see trouble, first thing you do what? Straighten up. Lift up your head. Why do you lift up your head? Scan. Something good is coming to you. Do you get my point? That's the commandment of the Lord. Scan. Something good. See, anytime you see trouble, my God, Father, I thank you because I know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this life is more than what meets the eye. You can be in prison. And there's another guy in prison. That guy is in prison because of his iniquity. You are in prison because that is the road God is using to take you somewhere. Please, I'm begging Christians. Don't join people who like to grumble, who like to complain. If Naira jumps from 400 Naira to 1,600 Naira to the dollar, who made that arrangement? I don't know. Why we have to be comparing to the dollar? I don't know. But that's the situation right now. It jumps like that just in the space of 3 years or 4 years. Okay? And everybody telling you, I don't know where this country is going. You straighten up, look around. Something is hidden for you in that change. I know what I'm saying. Something is hidden for you inside that change. If you get to work, all right? Like, you know, and I read news a lot, all right? To entertain myself sometimes with international news. Amazon CEO, Amazon, the big marketing company, about 2-3 days ago, he said AI is going to replace a huge number of their jobs that they wouldn't need as many people as they used to need because of AI. AI is really good, all right? So, you know, unions will gather now, planning protests. Pastors will preach against downsizing. Politicians will come to the house to come and legislate. You cannot sack all kinds of things. And people will now gather in homes, after church, outside, and start discussing, where is this world coming to? What is now going to happen? And for those who have been paying, you know, we don't do that much in Nigeria, but it's available. You've been paying mortgage, maybe you have a 25-year mortgage, and a 16th year, and you work for Amazon. Like, if they sack me, or more wahala day. So people sit down, and the Bible says the heart of men start feeding them because of the expectation of things that will come upon the earth. The heart starts failing. Now, saints of God, listen to me this morning. This is a commandment from heaven. If you're in that situation, when you get to work, straighten up, lift up your head. There's a redemption that is coming to you. Now, what I want to preach to you this morning is that without you straightening up, without you raising up your head, you will not participate in that redemption. That's why I tell my message, the power of hope. It is commanded that Christians must, see, they must have hope and they must know they have. It's a commandment of God. You must have a positive attitude towards everything in life, no matter how bad it looks. I'll say this to you. The Holy Spirit said, Banky, go and tell them. The hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot deliver. But listen to me, the lack of hope, which is manifested the way Christians talk a lot, is why his hand has not been shown forth in the lives of many. Like Elijah John was telling us, there's Christ in the office. They let us pray. This is the shadow, no, we will take action. God said, you will be, see, let me just warn you, eh? When they want to take those foolish actions, don't join, because frustration, eh? Let me not go into politics. You know, Iran said they will. Now, you know me, I'm not a Zionist. I'm not a Zionist. You know me, I'm not a Zionist. Those who tell you that as Christians, you must support Israel, I don't believe that thing. I don't. As Christians, you must preach Christ Jesus, both to Jews and to Gentiles. That's what I believe. So what I want to say, don't think that I'm a Zionist. I'm one of those that say that you stretch your hands and pray for Israel. Iran needs prayer. Both of them don't believe in Christ. So if I stretch my hands, I will pray for God to save Ayatollah Khomeini and Bibi Netanyahu, because both of them are going to hell fire if they don't believe. You heard my point? Don't think that when they get there, they say, oh, you are Bibi Netanyahu, you are going to go to heaven. And you are Ayatollah Khomeini, you are going to hell fire. There's nothing like that. They come, who believes in Christ? Whoever's name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's of the Lamb. It doesn't write your name inside if you don't believe in him. So relax. Okay? You've got my point, right? Now, let me now say what I want to say. You know, I watch Iran and Israel. And I felt sorry for Iran. I said, stop fighting. You wake up in the morning, they kill all your top generals. And you didn't kill one on their side. You are still fighting. The target bombed places they wanted. You are firing rockets into the air. And falling on any place. Sometimes a football field, swimming pool, river, apartment block. They didn't do that. They said, this is where we want to bomb. They went there and bombed it. They put mobile phones in your hand. You are making calls. It blows up in your face. Bros. And you say, you will not negotiate. Where I'm going is that, see, when somebody is stronger than you, Jesus said, negotiate. Is that not what Jesus said? Is that not your Bible? Jesus said, negotiate. He said, you will look. These guys have killed all my generals. Please, I don't know why I got into this politics this morning. I'm sorry. Where I'm going is that, see, don't do gra-gra. And this office will not agree. See, they have a saying in Western Nigeria. Yoruba man says, eniti otoya nko to nkoya. Let me tell you what it means. He said, if you are not big enough to say, I no go agree, that is, you reject a kind of suffering. He said, the one that will come upon you is the mother of that one you rejected. Do you get my point? Yes. You go to an office, they say, everybody, be here by 8 o'clock. He said, I can't come by 8. Do you know transport issue? You start making, we no go agree. They will sack you. Then you have nowhere to go, even by 9. Do you follow what I'm saying? They will so sack you. So when you see them starting at Luther, eh? They say, that's why I don't like you, Christian. Say, don't like me, I don't like you too. Makes two of us. Pack your bag, I'm not joining. We're going to go to the road to go and protest. Say, police shoot you, I will join your family to bury you. I'm not going. Because if the time for deliverance has not come, all your struggle is in vain. They will quench your riot, they will quench your protests and bury it. Go and ask Israel. That's the Israel where in the time of Jesus Christ. If you know the number of messiahs that, just like Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, I'm the Messiah. That's what they meant. I will say, I'm the Messiah. They will come. If you know their number that came, you know what the Romans did? Killed everybody, buried everybody, leveled the city, and nothing happened. When Christianity started, you know that was Gamaliel told them. Gamaliel gave them a list of those who have risen and who have all perished. Or who had all perished that time. Then I said, if this one is not of God, guys, calm down. They will also disappear. He said, but let us not be found fighting God. So please, all this raising of shoulder, that's what Christians should do. Don't do it. It's not part of your job. It's not. Christians, pray. Why I'm going to all of this is that people in anger, in fear of the things that will come upon the earth, they start doing, you know, it's perplexity. They are confused. They don't know what to do. In the midst of all the crisis, what do you do? Straighten up, raise your head. There is something good coming to you. If you get to work and you hear that they've sold your company and the new people that bought it said that we don't need... of course, you've seen it happen. It happened in the power companies in Nigeria at that time. You remember? That one, they were... Oh, God, the layoffs in EEDC here. Our own watch. That one, we had people giving us inside gist. First round, half. Gone. Second round, half of the half. That was remaining. Gone. As a woman I know, there's nothing, always in a struggling financial and all that. What happened? And that one that I called, I said, our husband used to work for EDC. They do that. Of course, it was a government-owned establishment. And if you know, government and civil service can overbloat. They hire 6 people to do the job of one person. So when these guys come, first thing they do is all this government inefficiency. They go after it. Now, I'm talking about if you work in that kind of place, they say they've sold your company. And the new people say, no, the staff is overbloated. Some will go and kneel down and pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I shall not be sacked. I will not be amongst those. You are bowed down. You are afraid. You are in perplexity. You are scared. What's my message to you this morning? Don't be. Take the word of the Lord literally. Be literal. What I mean, like, literally straighten up. Maybe this is how you walk, no man. There's nothing wrong with the way you walk. I mean, it's okay. But that day, walk like this. They say, what's going on? Say, I'm straightening up. This is how you walk into the office. Why? What's going on? I'm looking up. Why? Because my redemption draws near. See, this is my message. If you don't do that, no, the prophet Kenneth Hagin told us a story. He was praying for one man, praying and praying. This man was sick. Because he was a prophet, God used to give him visions like that. And the Lord appeared in a vision where he was praying. The man was lying down and he was praying. And the Lord just appeared in a vision and he saw the Lord. And he had something in his hand. And he knew, of course, you can easily guess, or like a small bag containing something. And he had it stretched out. So he knew instinctively that that's the man's healing. And the Lord had it stretched out. Now the man couldn't see. The man he was praying for could not see. I mean, like, I'm not saying his eyes were blind. I mean, like, he could not see the vision. So he didn't see the Lord appear. He didn't see that. But he would go to that place where the Lord is. And he would do like this. His hands would be out. Then he would put his hand together, bow his head, and shake his head. I can't. And can he say he was looking at him? He'll go back, lie down. Then he'll look again, the Lord's vision will appear again, and he'll have that thing in his hand. And the man will go to that very place. And he'll bring out his hand like this. And the Lord had the stress that about to drop into his hands. Then the man will close his hands again, shake his head and said, I can't. This happened like 3 times. So the way the prophet told us, the Lord kind of looked at him and like, I tried. I wanted to help him. But of course, you know, this is a small vision. What really is playing out in the realm of the spirit is more expanded than that. He didn't give us the details. But what I learned from it is that that man's healing was available, but he could not take it. Oh, he went back, lay down, and got worse and died. And the prophet knew that the Lord was willing to heal. The Lord came with the healing power, but the man kept on saying, I can't. Why couldn't he? I don't know the details. I will not go into that right now. But just to know, if you say I can't enter the promised land, you will not enter. That's what I'm saying. Again, I'll say this, and I've said a million times, so to speak. Satan does not have the kind of power people think he has. The only thing he does is to tell Israelites, you can't enter the promised land. Then they believe him and disbelieve the Lord. Hope is creative. I listened to Derek Prince a few days ago. He said he grew up a pessimist. And let me say to you, just like he said in the message, I believe it, a Christian must never be a pessimist. He said, is it cup full or is it half full or half empty? Well, the real answer is, which direction is it going? All right? That's my own answer. But let's look at it. They didn't tell you whether it's going up or going down. What do you want? A full cup. If it's a cup of blessing, say it is half full. It's becoming fuller. If it's a cup of wrath, say it's half empty. The anger is dissipating. You didn't see it move, it doesn't matter. My expectation will move it in a particular direction. That's what I'm trying to say. What I expect will move it in a particular direction. What Satan does is to trick us to think. This cup that is halfway. Okay. Oh. It means they are drinking it. Oh. By the time you get it, they have nothing to drink. Oh. Then you leave the work you are doing to go and start fighting over the cup. Can you see that? I have learned. God has helped me. So see that cup, they're not drinking it. It's filling up. Somebody's filling it up. It will fill to the overflow. And when I need to go and drink, there will be enough for me to drink. So I continue what I'm doing. No, you won't put me into panic. The Bible says, he that believes does not make haste. My Bible says, it's not disturbed. He that believes is not disturbed. What does Satan do? You can tell you, say, hey, like the one with the key telling us, this country. By the time your children grow up, nothing will be left. How do you know? How do you know? Now, for information, they've been saying this to me forever. Thank you. When we were in university, the discussion was there. You know, Japa, you know what they call Japa? Everybody going abroad. You know, people think it's new. It's not new. Maybe that's why people like me are just looking at this. You will go, you will come back, you know. The country will prosper. People will live again. I beg, the world will not end. Do you get my point? It's a cycle. People keep going and coming. This country will prosper. It will go down. I don't hope that that's what you remember. I just want to give what has been happening. They will tell the story of a few years ago. If you see, then those years will come back again. Then, because of the attitude, there's something about the spiritual attitude. Then they will mess the whole thing up again. Then God will withdraw it again. At the end of the day, brethren, where I'm going is that I've heard this thing again and again. And all the evil that they told us will happen, they have not happened. And they will not happen. And one reason why they have not happened, listen to me, this is not arrogance, is because some of us said, we believe God that they will not happen. And God says, I will not let your hope be disappointed. I will not let you be put to shame. And that God is not out of business yet. He's not out of business yet. He's not tired. He hasn't grown old. One good thing about God is that he was old before we started. So there's nothing to become again. The word Ancient of Days. So he's not going to retire one day suddenly because I have problems. He called the angels. Ah, I was in Nigeria. The angels said, how was it? He said, man, things are rough there. I don't know what I'm going to do with Banky and Co. God, man, things are rough. Things are rough. They have bad leaders. Their leaders are bad. I can't do anything for them. So angels said, what do we do? Ah, just advise Banky to find a job abroad. So if somebody told that God said that, what will you say? A prophet came and he said, I was in a vision yesterday and the heavens opened and I saw the Lord panic. No, what will you say? Thank you. Is it this one that spoke something? He said, I saw the Lord running around the conference room. He said, what was the problem? He said, I just came back from Nigeria. We want to look at the prophets, and they gave you the right to initiate the stoning. Yeah, we are laughing at it, right? But that's how we behave. That he's panicking. He can't help. And every day, this is, again, let me explain this again. I tried to mention the power of hope, right? That hope is creative. That's what I want to emphasize. Many people will have trouble because they were waiting for trouble. One of my wife's friends fell sick the other time, very serious ailment. She made a statement to my wife that I brought this upon myself. I knew what she meant. See, let me say this. So, a few days ago, I was having this discussion about 2 weeks ago with some people on health matters. You understand? That's what I was sharing with you guys yesterday evening. Elder John, you remember? So people say, go check your health, do this one, go do checkup, and all of that. Now, I don't believe in all of those things. People, please, I'm not here. That's not my prophetic counsel, and it's not my medical counsel. It's just my personal opinion. Is that okay? So let's just leave it, okay? So we're having this discussion. I said, look, all this checkup. Well, relax. That Jesus called it worry. That Jesus called many of it worry. So we're having actually a heated argument about it. Then one of our brothers now said something. He said, you know my brother-in-law that the kidney shut down a few years ago and needed to have a kidney transplant. I said, yes. He said he used to check his health every 6 months. Before then. And nobody picked it. I said, yes, you might say that it's an anecdotal report, but exactly the point I was making. He said nobody picked it. He said he was somebody that was very conscious of his health. And every 6 months he goes for a checkup. And do you know what? Nobody detected it. And essentially, you know the truth, the kidneys were working well. That's the last time he checked. Then all of a sudden, they stopped working. Now, I've not reached the part of the story that's interesting. So, again, 3 days ago, about 3 days ago, I was in the teaching hospital here. I was talking with some, a number of colleagues. Now, one of the youngest people there, so I now told this, so something led to this story. So I repeated this story. The young man now said something. I said, God, this guy, you are too brilliant. You know what he said to me? He said, what you have told me, sir, that guy is very health conscious. He said, people like that have a way of taking all kinds of things to boost their health. He said, it is one of those things he took that shut down his kidneys. When he said it, I froze. He said, look, and he said, sir, look at it. You said he did this. He said, go and check it. Very likely, in that pursuit of health,
He said, I've warned you people about supplementation. You know, I've been warning. Now, when I put threat, some people start listening. But on that one, I won't put threat. I saw the threat I put on gambling. Somebody caught it, put it on YouTube. I found it very interesting. This one, I won't put threat. I just leave it. It's your life. Those who are marketing supplements to you don't care about your health. They care about their sales. Did you hear what I said? Those who are marketing supplements to you do not care about your health. They care about their sales. One. Number two, if somebody is not appropriately trained with certification, listen, when I say appropriately, minimum of 6-7 years of academic training in sciences along those lines. Oh, where's the husband? Okay, it's not around. Here and I will start with some people last a week ago. All right? So one of the guys speaking, he said, as I was talking, he said, I'm a scientist. I talked to his husband, I said, don't mind him, he's an engineer. Now, he's not there right. Are you getting my point? We're talking on health matters, life, you know, biological sciences matter, vaccines, treatments. So he said, look, I'm a scientist. I said, hey, wait, you're an engineer. There's a world of difference. The way you said it now, somebody will think you know what you're saying. I asked him to your husband, I said, don't mind him. I said, he said, now, did he lie? No, he knows science. But there's a difference between the speed of light, the strength of materials, covalent bonding, and when you are talking about the way the biology of the human body works, both of them are science. So I told him, relax. I said, my brother, you're an engineer. As if we were talking science, I'm the one that's supposed to talk, not you. Everybody there, we were 6 or 7, everybody burst into laughter because they knew what I was saying was true. So when people come to, you know, market to you, check, what is the training? If he has a BSc and an MSc in microbiology, don't listen to him. He's a very good course. He's a very intelligent person. But the curriculum does not include nutrition and health for human beings. I've been in places before where the interesting, I say, professor of this, professor of that. I pinch my wife. I say, I know this person. He's really a professor. And he's in the medical field. But if you go to the medical field, I know it very well. There are scores of specialties there. So I told my wife, I said, see, this is fellow. His specialty is far removed from what he's talking about. But the professor title is fooling everybody. I told my wife, he doesn't know what he's saying. I said, but that professor title is throwing everybody now. Somebody's an orthopedic surgeon, as an example. So he's a professor of this, he's a professor and all of that. You won't know he's a professor of orthopedic surgeon. Of orthopedic surgery. Then he comes and he's giving you ideas on how to care for the eye. You know, you won't know. Now, you know, you're an accountant. Yeah, you know, I mean, you're a business person. You know, your own is a his or was or has. You're a professor of English language. Once he just come from the College of Medicine, he knows everything. He doesn't know anything about the eye. If your bone breaks, you can reset it next to God. So, I know what I'm telling you when I say stop, be careful who gives you medical advice concerning your health. And then, when they give you something to swallow, I forbid you, in the name of the Lord, from swallowing it until you go and listen to the experts. I've said this many times. I hope you will listen to me. How can a guy wear a suit, sees you on the road, and tells you to swallow something? You are very gullible if you swallow it. So he worked for this. He killed this. He won't tell you. He worked for this one, but he killed that one. If he told you he killed that one, will you take it? If he gives you collect, say this is my amount. Say I won't pay you yet. I want to go and see my doctor. And of course, if you see an average doctor, the way he will insult you, the way please say, doctors are protecting their trade. This is not my message, but I have to help people. The so-called trade that doctors and pharmacists are protecting. If you know what goes behind, before the world licenses a medicine for human consumption, the average cost in development is $500 million. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? After rigorous testing, after blowing averagely, some of them don't cost that much, some cost much more. Why the average? I don't know about, okay, things will have changed now. Technology has improved. But I'll give you figures of many years ago where they had to do a lot of trial and error and everything. A lot of drugs they work on for years. In the 10th year, they threw it away. It doesn't work. Money down the drain, $600 million. Occasionally, they get one that hits. Okay? Then they have to recoup their money from that. So the drug that they're selling you for $50 for a shot, it didn't cost them more than $1 to produce. But they've lost $500 million over the last 5 years trying to develop. So is this one that will pay for everything? Now, where I'm going with all of this is that before they give you something and package it, they've tried. At least so it's human best. Then someone just uproots a root. Uproots a root, blends it, packages it well, and starts speaking English for you that you raise your grandmother from the dead. And you believe it. Please, I forbid you. If they say, rub it on your heel, it will remove your cracked heel. The heel is very thick. Very unlikely something evil will happen to you. It's fine. Yeah, do that. It don't work, but I just drop it. Just put it. You'll be happy that you are doing something. If they say, wave it in front of your nose like this 3 times a day, do it. At least you're not inhaling it. When they say, swallow it. Hey, wait. What did you say? When they say, drop into your drop. See, eyes are very expensive. God gave you only 2. They are so expensive and very critical. The funny thing is that they can transplant kidney for you, they can't transplant eye for you. Say, drop something in your eye. Say, my eye. Say, come here. You, lie down. Let me drop it on you. not just once, in your eye every day for 100 days. If you are still seeing, then I'll consider it. I'm talking about hope. Please, that's a small warning for people. Please, oh no, I can't leave. Why? Please say, Pastor Mark, what should I do about my health? Like I told my son this morning, pray. Eat a good diet. Don't be a glutton. Are you getting my point? Don't test every food. You know, just go to a place. Everything you put in your mouth. It's not a good habit. I told him, be happy. Be joyful. Don't bear grudges. Sleep well at night. This morning, I slept so well. Many of you may have noticed that I came at the end of co-worker's prayer this morning. Well, normally, this is the way my body feels. So, I opened my eyes thinking it was 4 a.m. When I saw the time, I jumped up. I wanted to wake my wife. I said, no. Leave her. Let her finish her sleep this morning. But when I said, Lord, I slept well. Even though I was late, but I said, Lord, this morning, no, I slept. That sleep enter. You know this kind of sleep that will enter. You wonder whether it's only because of you God created sleep. Sleep well regularly. Don't buy Bitcoin. Yeah, because every day you'll be checking the price. That's what I'm saying. Don't do forex trading. You're not a banker. You can't be a nurse working in a hospital and say, I'm doing forex trading. Are you crazy? That's why you don't sleep. That's why you can't sleep. They say, invest in this thing and then it will multiply. Don't agree with them. You know why? It will collect your sleep. House in the village, you don't need it. You know why? You can't afford it. So shouldn't I be house in my village? You that I'm looking at right now, no, you can't afford it. When the time comes, you will know. You will send money only 3 times to finish. Then you know the time is right. Not the one that your children say, "Daddy, want to go to the mall." What's wrong with all of you? Why? Because your foreman called yesterday that they need 60 bags of cement before tomorrow evening because the work they are doing cannot be interrupted. At that time, you don't borrow from cooperative in your office. You don't have savings. Let's forget that. Your savings disappeared like the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That was when your savings finished. You know you don't have. You don't have. All your friends don't pick your call because, Nabeg, if you help me till next week, they are tired of hearing it. By the way, you are owing all of them. You said next week, 6 months ago. Your own next week never reached. To you, it is like 1,000 years. Bro, if you are like that, where the house is, sell it. Recover your money. And tell your children, everybody, come with me. Which one of you doesn't have phone? Aye, daddy, collect that one. Who wants chop ice cream? Just blow the money and be happy. Then whose birthday is coming? He said, nobody. He said, all of you are redoing your birthday. Come. Call all your friends. Eat the money and be happy. It's how you take your health I'm talking about. He said, you know, the maker has finished his house in this village. He said, that's very good. When I come, I will stay with him. It's not for competition. You call him and say, Ayomeka, how now? You have finished your house. Wow, God bless you. The rooms plenty, Abby. The guy is bragging with you for you. Yes, I put 7 rooms. Each one of them in suite. You know, toilet and bath. Each one. Wow. And you have 4 children, Abby? He said, yes, okay. 7 rooms, 4 children, no problem. Next Christmas, I better go. I go stay with you. There's no... See, those who want to abuse you will not live as long as you. Don't worry. You will go for their burial and be thanking God for a life well spent. This, I'm telling you, say, hey, when he comes, he stays in the cousin's house. Is his cousin complaining? No. So why are you complaining? You know, one of the reasons why we are not happy, is we will not kill the pride of life, flesh. You have not killed it. You are competing with those people that have... See, the way God did this life, that maker you are competing with, he did not even know he was building a house. It's from the money he was giving his wife that the wife was just sending to the house, they didn't just finish it. You now want to die. When you now go to church to pray, when you are groaning, they think you are groaning the spirit. God looking at him, call the angel, see the problem. He has reached the king now. He can't pay. That's what I'm telling you. See, relax. Tell your neighbor, relax.
Relax.
Say your neighbor, relax.
Relax.
Say, better they come.
Better they
come. It's coming. Relax. Some people, they've stressed themselves out, they're not side jogging. Meanwhile, the problem they have is stress. A lot of people are jogging. What they need to do is sleep. So how long are you sleeping? Say increase. Say, the one you're even sleeping, it's not quality. There's people on the bed for 6 hours. The real sleep inside, you're not reached 2.5. Do you know you can be calculating your dream? Your sleep. You are sleeping. You are lying like you're sleeping. People do it. The wife will say, honey, says 15,000. Calculating in the dream. See, when you want to sleep, sleep. Tell the Lord, I want to sleep. If any of your children even bring something, they say, wait, tomorrow. When they knock your door, daddy, they say, wait, tomorrow. Don't give me something I have to think about during the night. No. Some people listen to me, you need to do that. You need to say, Lord, I want to sleep. Please. I want to sleep. Then let the Lord do it for you. You sleep one night. When you wake up next day, you realize you have not slept like this the last 5 years. You sleep with an empty mind. Before you lie down to sleep, you kneel down, Father God, I want to thank you. Thank you for the little blessings you can see around. Then close your eyes to sleep. And that day, you may even go to work late. When you wake up in the morning, you see, it's a sun that will wake you up as it's passing through the window. Yeah. Look at the time. It's 7 o'clock already. Say, I'm leaving. You realize that, what? I was asleep. Me? He said, I used to wake up every 2 hours to finish the calculation. Many people are buying supplements. This is what they need. What should you do with your diet? I've told you. If there are important supplements from anywhere, don't buy. I forbid you. The supplement you need, the vegetable in the back of your house. They sell it down the street. Buy it. The normal vegetables, the one you know. Pumpkin leaf, amaranthus. Do you get my point? Bitter leaf. Fantastic spices. Eat normal food. As I and I say, we're analyzing cassava. Say, Gary is good. Some of you don't sow Gary, and you want to go to heaven. How do you want to do that? You need two angels to guide you. Those of us who sow Gary, we know the road. Will they help the angels guide people? Say, soak your, put groundnuts inside. Put sugar. Sugar does not kill. Put cold waters. Turn the thing like this. Put a tincture of salt. Roll it around. And then put out your tongue as, Father, I thank you for this communion. Gather your children. Let everybody have their bowls. And be watching TV and be soaking Gary. Look, that's how to live long. All this one, as I saw the opera space, people who don't sleep, they are jogging. And what are you jogging about? You have not slept. I mean, that's a small aside. I keep on going there, helping people. Let's leave that. Let's sit on our message. My message, I'm talking about hope. The Spirit of God commanded me to tell everyone, listen to me this morning. Hope must be your habit. You must not be a pessimist. Always expect good, no matter how bad the situation. You know that at the end of it, good is coming. No matter how bad the situation looks right now, just know that at the end of it, good is coming. It's a commandment from God. You must see. Have you noticed that anytime God sends an angel to somebody, one word they use a lot is what? Fear not. Why didn't he just continue talking? Why did he insist? Fear not. You know why? Because fear paralyzes. Fear makes us unable to obey God. Fear makes us unable to do that which God wants us to do. Fear does not enable us to enjoy the blessing of God. Please, I'm back to it. Our Father. See, a lot of people are broke simply because of fear. There are times God will look at you. God goes; it takes people through stages in life, all right? Let me tell you something about wilderness, the stage of the wilderness. There's something about the stage of the wilderness, and we all must pass through it. Supplies in the wilderness, as a rule, is daily. One. The second rule is not to be kept for tomorrow. That's how the wilderness is. Now God said, no, I won't leave you hungry. You will get hungry, fine. Then I will send you something that will last for a day. Now, a lot of people, they have that for the day. But fear of tomorrow will not let them enjoy the day. So if only they are taking the day one by one, they will have passed through the wilderness hardly noticing it. But then a lot of stress. Do you know why? Because they are so concerned about tomorrow. Meanwhile, they don't understand that tomorrow, oh my God, is blessed. They don't understand that tomorrow, God has packed so much abundance in it that they will enter the place and be confused with the abundance. So they are keeping the wilderness supplies for the time of abundance. So they don't enjoy the time of the wilderness. Their wilderness is full of grumbling and complaining. So, and you know, God, you know, I give this example. A man came to me and said I should be giving him 500 naira a month in what they call life assurance. 500 naira at that time is not the 500 naira of today. My salary in a month was 6,000. I was a resident doctor. So that was huge. That was proportionally to what I had. And he said in 15 years, he would give me, is it 150 or 200,000? I told him, in 15 years, 200,000 will be worth less to me than this money you are collecting today. How would the Lord do it? I didn't even know. I just told him like that. He tried to persuade me. I said, don't worry about it. And if we were to die, don't worry, I won't die. I can't be making plans if I were to die. Leave it. I was 20-something. What kind of nonsense thought is that? A very morbid thought. They do insurance for who now? I didn't even have a wife. I told him, leave me. And fact, I'm not exaggerating. Now, I've told this story many times. You guys will laugh. I picked clothes up. I've not worn for some time. You know, I just pick it up. And they find, what is here? Money. That's 15 years that guy was talking about. That was what happened at that time. The 15 years he said that he would give me money back. As at that time, I would pick, then I used to wear suits, all right? A lot. These days I wear African suits, you know, Nigerian suits. Well, I mean. But then I used to dress like American, like British man, French man. So, those pockets. There are times I have a jacket hanging. I've not worn it in a long time. I say, this jacket, I take it like this. The weight is different. I look inside. Wow, it's an envelope. What is inside? Money. And I forgot. That is where the issue is, that I could forget. The first few times it happened, I was living in Transekulu then. I told my wife one day, I said, sweetheart, I think we have prospered. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm forgetting money in pockets. He said, this did not used to happen. I mean, it's not that it didn't used to happen, all right? But it could not happen even when it tried to happen. Why? Because the money I did not forget, I looked for. How much more the one that I forgot? Of course, that even I put money in the pocket. By next morning, I remember the exact amount. I can calculate for you. That's what happened. And I thank God I didn't fall for that guy. Now, listen to me. Some people will listen to me, maybe because you sell insurance and you sell investments and you're angry with what I'm saying. I want you to listen to what I want to say. I'm not preaching a rule that applies to everybody. I'm preaching a rule that applies to those who can call God my Father. I'm teaching for those who can say to God, you are my Father. Who will kneel down like Jesus taught us to pray and say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be you. They're the ones I'm talking to. I'm talking about wilderness. So, a lot of people are in the wilderness, they're in distress. And God actually has calculated for them enough to be satisfied. He has. He looks and says, this guy will eat like this. Now it's wilderness. Wilderness people don't wear expensive things. Do you get my point? It's wilderness. They don't eat expensive ice cream. They don't do birthday parties that require them to hire a hall and then go to the carry their friends to the mall and buy expensive ice cream for their kids. It's wilderness. Wilderness people are content with eating the same food every day, so they can wear the same shirt every time. They are not afraid. They know how to choose shirts that can be worn regularly. It's wilderness. When I was in Lagos, my wife, for a long time she joked about it. We have not talked about it in years now. She used to say those days that I brought color into your life. Why? I wore only white shirts. It wasn't out of love for white. I was not a bishop that they said you must wear white to be in a college of bishops. No. I wore white because they were the clothes I could buy. To surprise you, I was a resident doctor. Most of them were from the corner of Mandilas where they sold to you used clothes. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. We started lightly and ironed it, and that's all I wore. I didn't have many of them, but God helped me. I kept each one clean and well ironed. When I first met my wife that time, there's only one shirt I had that wasn't blue, that was not white. It was blue. I think it was a birthday present or something. Somebody gave me the shirt. Because when my wife first, first met, said, why are you always wearing white? Of course, some of you, part of wilderness, you'll be telling lies to a woman you want to marry. See, one of the ways you know that woman is not the will of God is that you have to lie to her. She's not bad. You are bad, actually. You are telling lies, but she's not bad. She's just not the will of God. You want to impress somebody is not necessary. That one, I have a good testimony there. This is my wife. I didn't try to. In fact, she told me I talked too much because I wanted. What's the opposite of impress? Those of you who speaking synonyms and antonyms. What's the antonym for impress? What did she say? Depressed. To be honest, I went out of my way to do the opposite. I went out of my way to do the opposite. Until one day she complained that I talked too much. Yeah, she used those words. I said, what do you mean? She said, I was telling her things she was not asking me. I said, okay, I didn't want you to get a wrong impression because I stayed in Lagos. We used to see in Benin. That's what we used to see. She lived in Benin. So when I come to Benin, we'll see. So I will describe Lagos for her. That's my part of Lagos. It's not remember my part of Lagos. Yes, how my life was in Lagos. I used to talk all the time. Trying to impress people shows the person does not belong in your life at that time. If the person cannot be comfortable with the way you really are, being open, the person does not belong. There's nothing wrong with you. There are prayer points you take to God and he's angry. Why is this a prayer point? Say, Lord God, you have to do something for me. Look at the way Amaka was looking at me this morning. God said, you are the one that has a problem. Amaka has no problem. I have no problem. Me, your God. You are the one that has a problem. And that thing she said, she didn't mean anything by it. You are the one feeling, is it because I don't have a car? If I had my car, will you talk to me like that? She wasn't thinking like that. She just asked an honest question. We are going out. Is it this keke we enter? It's a question. You are the one that say you think is this keke? How else do you want her to ask? How else do you want her to ask? All she's asked is a simple question. Are they all Uche? Is this how we are going? Just say yes. And she would have said, okay, you start to fight. So if I came with a Prado now, you will be happy. Yes, you will be happy. Don't be stupid. Of course, I mean, if it's you, they want to carry. You say, see keke, see Prado. Which one will you enter? But the young woman meant nothing. You are the one that's feeling inferior. You have a complex. You are the one that's not. See, let me tell you, one of the greatest things God did for me in life those days was to give me joy in the Lord. If you look down on me, you are the one that had the problem. If you know how cool I felt, I was always feeling cool. Feeling, like my friend will say, you're feeling wife. I used to feel wife. My wife feeling was real. I'm sorry. I felt I was better than you. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry I said it like that. You know Bishop David Depo? I listened to him at the time. I felt like I was walking like a giant. Thank God I didn't stop on the road to go and stop trailer with my right hand. Of course, I felt powerful. I look back now. My wife and I were talking about your daddy. Even here, I preached about it. I look back now and I realize those things were not natural traits. They were not personal disciplines. It's now I look back, I realize what they were. They were the result of infilling of the Spirit. It was a boldness and confidence and joy that God granted us by the Spirit. It's funny that it's 20-something years later, I understood what actually was happening. There's a story I tell once in a while. I was reading a book. Faith. There's two kinds of faith. By W. Kenyon. When I finished telling the story, my son came to meet me in the house and said, do you still have the book? Good enough, I had one old copy. I brought it out and gave it to him. I read the book when I was in school, and I could not sit down. I thought the book was so, the revelation was so powerful. A friend of mine read it, one of our brothers in my room. One day I got to the room, and he was jumping up and down the bed. He was jumping and was shouting, he was jumping. I said, "Bro, what's going on?" He said, "He's reading Two Kinds of Faith." I said, that book, I don't read that. He said, "And you were able to sit down?" I said, "Who told you I sat down?" Exactly the same effect it had on me, it was having it on him. Except that he read it in the room. He was reading it in the room. I read it in the class. And the day I was reading it in class, I still remember LT4 in Unibet. I was in class because I had a habit. I taught my children the other day. Let me just teach everybody here. I had a habit as a student. If I was going to class, I carried, apart from the textbooks, I usually read two subjects. I prepare for two subjects. I may read only one, but one may get boring, so I go to another one. So I prepare for two. But beyond that, I always carried my Bible and the current Christian literature I was reading. So when I was sitting in class, my reading always started with Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon. You understand? All those people. Those are the main people we read. Kenneth Hagin and E.W. Kenyon. My reading, always. Always. I don't think we ever did differently. We get to class. As a rule, you pray before you start reading. And I always give the first 30 minutes to books like Two Kinds of Righteousness, the New Covenant, you know, stuff like that. I spent the first 30 minutes or so reading the Christian literature I had at that time, all right? With my Bible, read a portion of the Bible or refer to the Bible as reading your book and all of that. It just takes about 30 minutes. Then when I'm done, I'll now close it. Then I'll start reading my academic textbooks. So it was one of those days that I was reading that book. I came to class to read. I said I started with Two Kinds of Faith. And I couldn't sit down. I read I was shaking. So I got up and went outside. So as not to disturb other people reading the place. So I sat there. I was reading the book. I was shaking. The thing was entering me like. Then one man came and sat on that bench where I was seated. And I remember I told myself, "This guy, I came out. So you now want to come and disturb me. So I have the right to disturb you." So I continued what I was doing until he got disturbed and he left. I didn't really care about him. Now what I'm talking about is I look back. It was not, you know, it's just in the rest, it's last, I think this last year or so, I realized the things that happened then. What we thought about filling of the Spirit is that they lay hands on you, you fall down. Now, let me just say something to you. A lot of people that fell down, they were filled with nothing. They were not filled with anything. We thought if they lay hands on you, you speak in tongues, it means you are filled with the Spirit. No, that's what it means. When you leave that place, when I read the Bible, it says, "And they spoke the word of God with what? Boldness." If you don't find boldness, if you don't find confidence, listen to this, if you don't find faith in your heart, you have not been filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry, I don't mean any, I'm not trying to oppose people, but I think we have laid too much emphasis, not because it is bad, but because we have displaced other things. We have laid too much emphasis on speaking in tongues as a sign of being filled with the Spirit without emphasizing the other ones. You know what? If you are filled with the Spirit, you will find it easier to do right. Yeah. I am confident in what I'm about to say. If you are filled with the Spirit, the Scriptures will be more open to you. They will be clearer to you. If you are filled with the Spirit, your ability to stand and declare your faith boldly in the face of opposition will be clear. If you go to church and you do 1 hour, then you get to the office, you're timid. You can't refuse when your guy says, "Let's take a bribe." Do you get my point? You can't stand for anything that you know to be true, but you can speak in tongues when you're in church. You're not filled. See, take my words, you are not filled. No, it's not a sin. Just go back and go and be prayed for. Go back and pray yourself. I still remember, you know, like before, I thought it was just because of reading. You know, when they saw Peter and Co, the boldness they spoke, what did they say? The reason that they were learned men, then they realized they had been with Jesus. Good. Now, I've explained to us before, that deduction was only a quarter true. It wasn't the full truth. Had they not been with Jesus when he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high? No, answer me. Had they not been with him? But he said, please don't go out. Why were they bold? Because they had been what? Filled with the Spirit. Yes, it came because they were with Jesus. He trained them. He prepared them. But until the Spirit came, they were not that bold. So that deduction of the elders and the Pharisees wasn't correct. We used to quote it. What happened was that they were filled with the Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I used to think it was because I had been doing a lot of reading. It wasn't the reading. It was the Spirit. It was the Spirit. Do you know the funny thing? It's in the last 1 year I realized that. And I'm telling you a story of 25 years ago. Story of 30 years ago. The story I'm telling you of reading a book and I was jumping was in 1988. How many years this year? 37. Do you know, is this last year I finally understood it? Until last year, I thought it was the book. But it was not the book. It was the Spirit that was leaping into us from that book. When I tell you, I used to feel five. That's what I'm explaining. It wasn't me. It was the infilling of it. I just said it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that made me confident. I didn't feel inferior to anybody for one moment because of what? In fact, my own sin was that of feeling superior to you. Listen, I like physical things, so don't think. I used to live somewhere off Obanikoro. Those of you know Lagos, across the Ikorodu Road. At Obanikoro, there's a bridge, pedestrian footbridge over the express. There's another one down Palm Grove next to it. I used to climb, maybe I'm going somewhere, I just stand on top of Banikoro Bridge and be watching cars pass. Yeah, I used to do that. And I told myself that I could identify any car by looking at it for 2 seconds. And I would get it 90% correct. I'll tell you the model, the brand, the year. Damn, I was good. I used to do the test. The car will just pass. I look for it for 2 seconds, take my eyes away, and tell you, that's a Mercedes-Benz E-Class, tell you, 85. But guess what? I didn't have one. I didn't have one. And I felt nothing. I felt nothing. I didn't feel anything about it at all. It was nothing. It was not even a prayer point. A serious, I mean, I prayed about it, can't remember, but it was not a serious prayer point. But definitely it was not a seed point. God, I changed this. She said, I don't have car. Let me tell you how bad it was. I didn't have shoes and I did not notice. And I had money. At least I could afford shoes. Until my friends, including Pastor Corey, laughed at my shoes when I went to Benin. A number of them were laughing at me, and I reported to him that look at this, we're laughing at me. He joined the laughter. I came to report the matter. He joined us. So out of anger, I go back to Lagos and I bought two good, I can remember the names. One was St. Michael's, the other was Lord's. And you know the funny thing? I wore that one, the loafers. I wore it only for about 2 weeks. A few days, maybe a few times, I came, saw one brother. I didn't like the shoe he was wearing. I gave him the shoes. There, I removed the shoes and gave them to him. What I'm saying is that, see, I was, when somebody said, come and give me money, and in 20 years, I said, no, not in 20 years. How about, what would God say I did that he won't bless me? And truly, what he was planning to give me in 20 years, inflation added to it and everything, it was not anything. It became things I could use, say, okay, hey, come, let's chop now. Let's do small party. It's my son's first birthday. Let's do, you know, you just blow it. But what am I preaching? Ah, brethren, let me be honest with you. I knew it was the same feeling of the Spirit. I expected good. And that's what I'm preaching to you. Oh my God. You know, I thought it was just understanding. It wasn't understanding, it was the Spirit. The infilling of the Spirit. I knew good was coming. I expected it. I wasn't projecting. I said, God will create it for me if necessary. Listen, there's a kind of arrogance that faith gives you. Being honest with you. When Charles Soludo became CBN governor that time, and he ordered all the banks to open branches everywhere, you know how I interpreted it? I said, God knows that I have to be blessed. So they should open their branches next to my house. First, some of them, you know, they only stayed in Lagos and Abuja and Port Harcourt. Charles Ludo, they said, no. You must open branches worldwide if you want the full license. Worldwide, nationwide. Every city, every state capital must have a branch. So I told them, I said, see, God knew we had to prosper. Then a time came. Enugu Airport was changed to an international airport. People can say what they like. I said what I like. I said, you see, God knows I have to fly from here to everywhere. That's how I was reading everything. I used to read the news regularly. I still do read news now. But then, every day, I was looking for good news. I used to open the newspapers to look for good news. That was what the infinite of the Holy Spirit did. And please, let me emphasize this. If you don't have that kind of hope, your fears will be confirmed. That's what I'm going to explain. Christians, don't fall for this sitting down to grumble about the nation. There's a guy I know. Anytime he forwards something to the group I belong, if it's a video, I hardly open them. I just delete. You know why? I found out that if he sends anything about the country, 19 out of 20, let's put it like that, if it's about the country, would be a negative report, a report of derision, always trying to show that something bad is happening. If you hear, you know in the news, they will tell you that Air Force eliminates maybe a group of bandits, there are 50 of them, and they did the clearance in one for he will never, you never see him forward that. But if he hear that Boko Haram attacked a camp of Nigerian army soldiers and killed 10 soldiers, even though in repelling them, Nigerian army killed 50. That report that 10 soldiers killed by Boko Haram is the first person that will forward it to you. So I got used to when you forward something, click, click, delete. They say you are burying your head in the sand. I said, Shibi, it's me. It's my head. It's my sand. Leave it now. You are not burying your head in sand. I'm sorry. You are burying your head in dung. Yeah, let's use a nice English word. You are burying your head in dung. You're looking for bad things to inhale. Yes. You know, it makes you feel good that I knew not. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It makes you feel good that I knew nothing good would come forth. And I'm preaching to Christians today, if you have that attitude, I will explain something. If you have that attitude, let me quickly say it. One day, you will see it. Now, listen to me. God will try to bless you. He will not be able to. Is there anything too difficult for God? He's just. His hands can be tied. He can say, bless this one. And God said, no, I can't. Say, why not? If I did, it would be unrighteousness. Say, Lord, what do you mean? He said, let's look at his records. Let's look at her records over the last 15 years, 20 years. The Lord says, let's go to WhatsApp post alone. Let's not even go to Facebook. If I go to Facebook, I will destroy the Fed. Let's just do WhatsApp forwarding. What's this one? Inflation in Nigeria rises to 36%. What did he do? He forwarded to all his friends. God said, I brought that same inflation down to 15%. Did he forward it? No. Good. All right? For international price of crude, Nigeria's main export, it dropped to $50. Did he forward it? Yes. Undermining the budget of the federal government of 2 months before, which was benchmarked at $70 per barrel. Did he forward it? Yes, he did. Iran and Israel began to fight. Russia and Ukraine began to fight. That pushed the price of crude up to $90 a barrel. Did he forward it? No. When, based on the budget, the benchmark at 17 is now 90. Money is now awash everywhere. Did he forward it? No. Good. They give you like 10 good things. God knows that I did it. I did these things. I'm the one that sent prosperity. Did he communicate it? He said no. Good. Let's start with banditry. He checks your WhatsApp posts over 15 years. So he says to the person praying, so on what basis will I pour good upon somebody who's not expecting it? So because of your intercession, I will reduce the trouble he's going to have. So I had 2 companies, I'm closing only one. I'm downsizing the other one in half. But you have money for himself and his family. Why? Because you prayed. Under the circumstances, when I consider everything, that is the best I can do for him. Is he righteous? I said the expectation of the righteous will not be cut off. What did he expect? Nothing. See, you must understand the justice of God. God is very just too. It's not the time of prayer. You will kneel down. Because you've been praying for the last 8 years. You just don't know. You think it's the day Abraham finally met the Lord and prayed for, what is his name? Lot. That decided to hear him. No. The day he allowed Lot to go first, he sowed his seed in his life that will make him somebody to be heard. See, let's talk about the word righteousness again. Righteousness means that God listens to you. Righteousness means God has respect for your person. Righteousness means that if you park into a house, God deploys angels around it because you moved there. Righteousness means if you enter into a bus, you suddenly are the protection for everybody inside that bus. Righteousness means you bought a flight. For your sake, nothing bad will happen. That is the meaning of righteousness. And it is how does it come? By faith. By faith. I taught here a few weeks ago that when we're talking about by faith, please don't forget that Abraham was made righteous. Paul said that was written not only for Abraham, but for everyone who believed the word of God. So Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Remember we explained that time that David said, do you remember this? David said, I've been young, now I'm old, and I have not what? Seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. Now, if you remember, just to remind us what I explained, that when I talked about righteous forsaken, people have now abused David. One man, a theologian, actually said, David was either blind or he was lying. Yeah, a theologian. And I said, you see, Eli who said, I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. Paul said the word of God is all scripture is inspired of God. Paul knew, David said that when he said all scripture is what? Inspired. It's given by the inspiration of the Spirit. The problem that man had is that he did not know the meaning of righteousness. What he meant was that a man who obeys laws. I have seen strict people. I have seen people who, that's what the man thought David was saying. I've seen people who are legalistic, who went and begged for bread, who were forsaken. What David said was not so. David said, the righteous. How do we know the righteous? Paul explained to us, it is by faith. That how did God make Abraham righteous? because Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. There are many people who are legalistic, who obey laws, who obey rules, but they've never made a decision, critical decision in their lives because God said. They can do. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. But God says, move from Capernaum and move over to Galilee. And there I will bless you. And they will say to God, there's no water in Galilee. I can't go there. Do you get my point? Say, no, I can't go there. And God said, go there. There I will bless you. But what is righteousness? Everybody's moving to Egypt. Isaac wants to move to Egypt. He gets to Gerar. God says, dwell in the land. And sow yourself in the land. And Isaac, because, now listen to me. Because God said, Isaac stayed there. That's the meaning of righteousness. That Isaac, why are you here? I just feel this is where the Lord wants me to be now. But Egypt is where it is booming. Egypt is where things are moving. Egypt is where everybody is going to. I say, Isaac says, no, but I can't go. The Lord specifically communicated to me through various means that I am not to go to Egypt. Paul said, that is accounted for as what? Righteousness. So David said, such a person is never forsaken. Such a person, the seed will never beg for bread. See, let me tell you something. God is more faithful than your friend. God is more faithful than the missionary. God is more faithful than the big man you know. God, Christian, I mean now. God is more faithful. What I'm trying to say is that you can't look at one man's life and use it to prove that God was unfaithful. Are you crazy? You can't do that. And this man served God, though. He served God all his life. Yet, when you make that kind of statement, you don't know who God is. You think that one is more faithful than God. He served God all his life, yet he begged for bread till he died. He served God all his life, yet his children are forsaken. His children are begging for bread. He was forsaken. Anytime you make such a statement, you question the Lord's integrity, you are trusting more in a human being than you trust in God. He served God all his life. Where did he serve God? Maybe it was in Enugu, 7 and 7. You look to heaven. God said, when he wanted to marry, I told him to recognize the body of Christ everywhere. He refused. He said he had to marry from his place and marry from his denomination. But he's 7. When he moved to Enugu, I told him, stay in Emene. And he felt, where you find the crowd, is inside Enugu. So he moved inside Enugu, and he's 7. When he started, I said, okay, teach the word. Just teach. Don't have a roaming ministry. He said, no, I need the base. So he started the church to have a base. Because the 3 critical decisions in his life, I've had no say in them because he wouldn't trust what I have to say. He married, he didn't listen to me. He located, did not listen to me. He started the ministry, he did not listen. But you are watching from outside. Every morning he's praying. Every Sunday he's banging drums and arranging chairs and doing everything. And the way I am, my name is God. I use him to bless people. There's a word I place in his mouth. It's a teaching anointing. Anytime he comes on church, I'm not saying because he's on church, I won't come there. I come. I send people there to go and listen. They get blessed, they go, and they don't understand why I'm not blessing him. He has disobeyed my precept every time. My wife and I were watching a film yesterday night. So one guy in the movie was saying that, I know God told you to be my wife. God spoke to me. And when he's praying, very funny guy. Father, in the name of Jesus, you spoke to me. I see. I'm marrying this girl this year. It was declared. Very nice film. Very, very good. I love it. Very beautiful film. Now, so my wife was sitting beside me while she was watching it. When she was the one that was really watching, she said, I put it on now. I was like, well, sweetheart, let's go and let's just say, no, she wants to watch. So I sat down there together, we watched. So that guy was saying, God said to me, God said to me. I told my wife, I said, did God say I should marry you, sir? The other day, we were reading the Bible in the house. He said, "Who that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord." I said, who was reading it? I said, "He didn't read the word. Somebody else should read it." All of them tried to read. I said, "You are not reading it correctly." Until my daughter said, "Daddy found a wife, he found a good thing." I said, "Good, good. Now you are reading this incorrectly." So I told my wife yesterday, I said, "Is it because I should marry you?" I said, "Sweetheart, I just saw you, man. You were looking so nice. You were looking so desirable. Now this is where I'm going." So Pastor Frank, God didn't say to you. I said, "No. Listen, that's not the point. It's not whether he spoke or not. It's all the reasons why we should not marry that God was removing for me. At the end of the day, there was nothing left. And then, I know my mother is listening to this, but she didn't know it. She said something to me the other day. You know, my mother was, I know she's listening to this, okay? Mommy, I know you are listening, so God bless you. And she's my brother, you understand? She's in his house in Lagos. So, he took very good care of her, but that's not the person. It's his wife. You understand? My brother's wife. My brother's wife, of course, she's been wonderful. So my mother was telling me about it. Hey, she now says something. Please, everybody listen to this. He said, "Those of us that say people must marry from our place, may Jesus have mercy on us." So, I'm from mother from Ondo State. That's where my brother is from also. My wife's brother is from Imo State. I'm from Ondo State, naturally speaking. My wife's from Delta. These are the two daughters-in-law my mother has. And she made a statement to me about 2 days ago. Is it 2 or 3 days ago? She said, "Hey, if we ever said our children should not marry from fire, we said, Jesus, forgive us." I wanted to type it immediately to some people as a testimony. I've married my wife for over 25 years now, so it's not news to me. My brother has been married for up to 15 years or so. Yes. It's not news to him. But my mother, when she uttered the word, "Jesus, forgive us," I said, "No, I should put that as a testimony." That's Christianity. That's Christianity. The man that you are saying that God neglected, God said, "See, that wife he married is the wife I wanted him to marry. However, he did not marry her according to my will. I had to use other methods to bring her in. But he disobeyed me. He said she's the first woman I tested him with. I would not have agreed for them to marry. But at least I wanted him to agree." He said, she's from this place. She was like this before. She disobeyed my word, disobeyed the blood of Jesus. He just took everything and disregarded it. And you're not asking me to bless him as if he obeyed. Listen, the people David talked about are those who make their decisions because God said. If you ever say, "This person saved God," yet God, you trust man more than you trust God. You trust the sin of your eyes more than you trust the Lord. See, all you know about my life, is what you can see and what I tell you. The reason God judges me, you don't know. You know what the thing I noticed? He doesn't tell you. God helping me, I tell my wife almost everything. I said almost because it's not humanly possible to tell everything. Okay? It's not humanly possible. Okay? There are thoughts that God is judging in my heart and she doesn't know about. And sometimes even I don't know it's a subject of judgment. I don't even know. The prophet Kenneth Hagin told us that once he had a problem, a health challenge. Some of these things we preach in the faith movement. Sometimes I get tired. Because he listened properly. Listening properly. He said he went to pee. Blood. That's what came out. He started praying. He started praying to the Lord. I mean, which is the right thing you should do as a Christian? Don't run to hospital. I'm not saying don't go to hospital. I said don't what? Run. Pray. Father God. So he began to pray. And God said to him, "What were you doing thinking about starting a church in Rhema Bible Training Center. He said, Lord, I was not planning to start. I was just thinking about it. He said, you are forbidden from thinking about it. The thought is not allowed to enter your head. He said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I won't think. He said, good. Then the urine cleared. Who would have thought that think? When, you see, if you don't read your Bible well, when Moses died, you will say, and he served God though, and he didn't enter the promised land. Is that what you say? What he went through for God. Because that's your problem. Let me tell you my problem. To whom much is given? I can't give you this kind of power. You won't know how to obey me on every jot and every t. This kind of power? I called you a god to a king, the greatest king on the earth that time. You know the kind of power you carry? I called your elder brother your prophet. Your elder sister who watched over you when you were a baby, she criticized you, I struck her with leprosy. You don't joke. See, there are places God will offer you as he say, sit on my right side, Jesus. He said, John likes right positions. Elder John, Jesus is coming from my seat here. I'm not sitting. Because we sit there now. We breathe. Say, why are you breathing? Don't you know that you're supposed to be in this place? He said, no, what kind of thing? God said to Moses, see, I don't give this kind of power. And you mess around. Go and control your spirit. Control your temper. When I tell you speak to the rock, speak. Don't strike it a second time. Don't. And look at your mouth, self. Instead of you to sanctify me before the people, you say, I have to bring water. When did you become the fountain of water? He said, Moses, you are tired. He said, Lord, no, I'm okay. I said, you are tired. I'm withdrawing you from service. Now, if you didn't hear this part of the story, you would have gone around and said, how could God have done that to Moses? Somebody who saved him so much. Look, I have joined the school of Elihu, brethren. He said, I will take my knowledge from afar. I will ascribe righteousness to my maker. God is always just. No matter what he does, he's just. Far be it from the Almighty, the judge of the heavens and the earth, to do wickedly. He never does wickedly. He's always right. I will never open my mouth and say, and this person saved God, but. What is but? I will look and say, it's between him and his God. I don't know what God was seeing in his life. That's why I would do like that. But there are people who are saved. And you see, the one thing about God is that whichever way you put yourself out, he will use you like that. If he says, go to Abakiliki, you decide to go to Uma here. You will get to Uma here. Some people want ministration. God will use you to minister to them. He will. Then you will now be confused to think that, you see, God sent me here. God said, no. I know there's no way I'll get you to go to that Abakiliki. Why? The fear in your heart. Somebody has told that when you get to Umuah here, the place is set. And I will judge you based on that. But those who don't know, we see your labor, we see my grace upon that labor, they will not know you are there in disobedience. And what is disobedience? Again, let me just say it. It's not when God comes to you and says, hey, my son, go, and then you go. Sometimes, of course, that may happen, but many times it's precepts. And let me warn us about some small ones. I've given one example now of the testimony my mother gave that God have mercy on us. Many of us, he has to have mercy. You preach. People still won't listen. One day they told me that why she wants to marry from this place is because look at her sister had problem the other day. If the husband was from their place now, they would have been able to solve it. Then she married and had problems. So I said, what? See, God had to prove to you that your elders are not the solution to marriage problems. See, why do you want to make yourself an example of disobedience? The commandments you must never disobey, actually most of them are common to everybody. I give a few examples now. Rightfully discerning the body of Christ. They are common to everybody. It's available for us to see. Many people who are missing God in their lives, those are the things that they disobey. I'm sorry to say this, but it's fact. God says, dwell in Gerar. Sow in the land. The man said, no. It's Egypt where people are making it. See, let me go by it again. Knowing the will of God is not as hard as we think. Please go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. The way, you know, Christians, when they want to know the will of God, what do they go to do? What they tell them to do? You go there and be praying. Then some say, you will pray in tongues. If you pray in tongues long enough, the longer you pray in tongues, the more you hear heaven. Now, for your information, that is so not based on scripture. There's no scriptural basis for that statement. Go and read your Bible. There's no example. Not one. Did you find one there? Somebody even translated the Bible to me that John said, I was praying in the spirit on the Lord's day, and that is not true. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. It was not the Sunday. Like an egging would say, he was talking with the pastor. They were gisting. Then the pastor's daughter walked in and said, Daddy, it's late. I need to go to sleep. And because the tradition in the house, that the man always prayed with the daughter before she slept. So the young girl is used to it. She couldn't go to bed until Daddy had come to with her to pray. Said, Daddy, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow is school. I have to rise up early. So he said, he turned to the pastor. He said, I didn't know time had gotten away from us. 2 hours they'd been talking in the kitchen, just talking things, all right? So now I said, okay, come. Brother Higgins here, let him pray with us. Ken Higgins said, what happened next? I did not expect it to happen more than I expected to be the first man on the moon. That didn't cross his mind. He just said, okay. So they just moved the chair back and said, let them kneel down to pray. As he knelt, he found himself in a cloud. The kitchen disappeared. The pastor disappeared. The daughter disappeared. Everybody seemed to disappear. And the Lord appeared to him. I want to teach you about demons, demon possession, and stuff like that. So he just knelt down. It's as if he knelt into a cloud. And every other thing disappeared. He was a prophet. He used to say that a lot. I didn't expect what happened next to happen. More than I expected to be the first man on the moon. So, see, you don't seek visions. You don't seek dreams. You're not a diviner. There's no method to making God speak. If you pray long enough, you now go quiet. When you finish praying, carry your Bible and read. All those your quiet thoughts are the things that have been waiting for you to finish praying so that they can speak up. Many of you that say, God said, this girl will be my wife. Go and ask yourself, the last 1 year in church, which direction do you look when she's ministering, when church is going on? As soon as you enter church, you don't scan. Where she sit down? You got the ushers just, and they say, we ushers. And nothing wrong with it, too. No, I'm not saying it's evil, it's okay. But just don't come and terrorize us with the Lord now spoke to me. It's your desires that spoke to you most of the times. And it's not bad. That's why I keep on telling my testimony to help people and help them calm down. He said, one brother said, did God speak to you before about the wife you married? I said, yes. He said, what did he say? He said, I pronounce you man and wife. On the wedding day. I don't mean the day before. How did you know it's your wife? I said, I didn't know. I saw her. I liked her. And I use the scriptures. After all, one brother, I will not mention his name, but I won't tell you where he's sitting down. He just entered a bus, and a woman was going to Bible study, and there was only her behind. And I said, they reached into this place. And he told you, jokingly, because he said, he wanted to enter a bus to come to Kingdom World. He got to a bus stop. The woman was standing there. She entered the bus. He entered the bus, thinking that we had just entered bus. Then he wanted to come down. She came down. Then he was walking with his friend. And she was walking in front. Then he climbed the steps there. And she climbed the steps too. Finally, he told the woman, wherever you are going, we'll go there together. Brethren, they are actually going together. You see what I'm saying? Many of you know who I'm talking about. It's not this man. It's not him. It's not even him at all. It's not him at all. The person I'm talking about may be on his left, on his right, or anywhere. The Lord is good. But what I'm talking about, how you get to know God's will, all right, is those little things that you practice over time in removing the stumbling blocks from your heart. Do you get my point? If you have idols in your heart, the will of God can never be clear. It can't be clear. So when people asked me that, I said, okay, let's start with it. Number one, was there a woman I met at the bar where we went to watch UEFA Cup? No. Is a church person. Basically, let's leave church out. Is a Christian. So no matter what, a girl I liked, she had to be a believer. Long before I told the Lord, look, see, I don't want to marry somebody who just a good girl or just goes to church. I want somebody who, you know now, we are in this word thing together, who loves the word. And I want to see her pursue it. And the first day my wife and I met, she came and said, please, I have these three questions. You just finished preaching. Can you help me with them? She wanted to understand some things about the scriptures. And I said, that first question requires a lot of... I said, it will take time. I was tired. I answered the second one, answered the third one. Then I looked up. I said, this girl is fine, man. Damn! And I said, that question number one, I think we should revisit it. I don't know what your schedule will be. Where can we sit down and answer that question? So I ran to my friend, Chooks. I said, Chooks, come and see. He said, what? I said, bro, come. She had vanished. See, she was sitting down here just now. So evening. Because we had a convention. Evening session, all right? So evening, my boys come, they roll around. Single boys, only God can take them to heaven. Do you know, in this kingdom world, I won't mention their names. Whether they're ever sitting there at the back or in front, I won't tell you. They will be doing video editing. They will be looking at the women that they filmed in this place. They filmed, though. You think they are doing video to put on, going to do video to put on television. They will look and say, what's that one's name? They will move the frame. Wait, stop. Go back. That earring she's wearing. And they said they are preparing the gospel. Only God can take single men to heaven. Everywhere. That like that. Now, so me and my friend entered that day. You think we came to pray? Pray a call. We're scanning the hall. Second, wait, that babe, man. She sat down here. So finally, I see her. Say, choose. See her. Choose, look, he we now waited for the evening session to end. We now saw where she sat outside. I said, sis, you don't want to drink Coke? Say, no one drink Coke. What about water? The girl just said, you don't drink anything. Anyway, that was 27 years ago. 18 months after that, we're happily married. Last time I traveled, true story, the former chairman of APC, he saw me. I won't tell which one of them. I greeted him. Hello, sir. Then my wife and I wore the same cloth, you understand? He said, wow, he greeted, gave me a hug. He said, that was one marriage and I was very happy to be a part of. You guys are still wearing the same thing. 25 years later, I saw him last January. He remembered me very well because my daddy, I was so happy. When we finished the marriage, I went to the high table. That's what they teach us for that side. I proceeded fully for the high table. And he was sitting down there. He called me, gave me a hug that day. Wow. This young man, I said, they give you something where you want. Yes, they give me. He didn't say that. I'm the one just putting words in his mouth now. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, when that brother said that the God speak to you, I said, not the way you are thinking. It's following habitually the precepts of God. That is how you know the will of God. You hear what I said? See, it's not because you heard or did not hear. Balaam heard and it was wrong. Why was Balaam wrong? He loved money. If you're a man or woman and you love money, what you heard as who your wife and your husband will be is a lie. It's a lie. Why? The love of money never allows you to hear clearly. It's not possible. Please go and read my book, Guided by the Spirit. I explained it there. So what if you want to hear God? Well, it's not, stay in the prayer of prayer for 10 hours. No. Cleanse your heart for 10 hours. Cleanse your heart for 10 days. Cleanse your heart for 10 months. Keep on cleansing your heart until you've been cleansing your heart for 10 years, for 100. That is when you will know the will of God. There's no trick. Visions don't mean it's the will of God. Those who, see, brethren, those who lied to Ahab, they were inspired. As the prophets began to prophesy, an unction came upon them. Something took over their mouth. And they began to have visions. Ah, Ahab, I saw your hand turn to seven hands each. So you had seven hands on the left and seven hands on the right. Each one had a sword of God. Oh, Ahab. Oh, Ahab. Oh, Ahab. And then you pursued them. And they scattered seven directions this way. Ahab said, Yes, these are real prophets. Why could those lying spirits go into the mouth of those prophets? Those prophets used to prophesy for money. Any prophet you pay before you prophesy is a liar. He will be inspired by a lying spirit. We now know because Micaiah said, I saw the spirits. They approached when God said, who will go to Ahab to entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead? Because I want to kill him there. So one said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. Basically, the prophets were inspired. They had the spirit in them. All of them said the same, they saw the same common vision. It was enough to persuade Ahab because the Lord was determined that there I will destroy Ahab. So that's why don't let vision move you. First, ask, am I cleansing my heart? Is my heart pure? Am I habitually doing that which is pleasing to God? Please let me help people again. You want to say, who's my husband, who's my wife? Those of you who are not married yet. See, I've told you some things now. Recognize the body of Christ. Your wife can be Fulani, can be from Ukraine, and it can be Iranian, and can be for Israel. Once they are of faith in Christ Jesus. Stop doing investigation. Is there madness in their family? I've told you many times, there's no family where there's no madness. There's madness in my family. My wife's family, there's madness. You, there's madness. There's no way. See, those who have gone mad are the ones that stress have handled. Those who have never seen trouble, they are sane. One day I almost went mad. You may be laughing now. It's funny. That I'm still sane today is the grace of God. Even you sitting in front of me, you're supposed to onkulosis last year. It's not prayer that people prayed for you. Your head can't rearrange. Was there not one day you woke up, your head was in your armpit? You remember? That day, I won't tell you the story of what happened that day. I was walking on the road, and I remember, I said, so this is how people go mad. I remember very well. I said to myself, so this is how people go mad. I mean, it was a question. I said, that's so man decrease. So. There are people, I was now questioning myself, Abby. There are people that did not bother to question it. They just went mad. They just went, follow that thing, follow it. Because, you don't understand, life lost meaning. I was still reading the story. I was telling my wife about it yesterday. I was listening to somebody narrate it, actually. Of what one man's wife did to him. That's not the maddening part, because she left him for another man. That doesn't make you mad. The woman should not go mad. They're used to it, all right? It was what happened to the woman that, legally speaking, she should go mad. He was an American soldier. They deployed him to Afghanistan. While he was deployed, the wife sent him an email that their marriage was over, and with divorce papers by email. But certain things made him come back to act. Not for to preserve the marriage. He said, look, let her go. They've been married for 16 years. Is it 16 or 13? Anyway, whether 13 or 16, it's bad enough. But let's make a long story short. A lot of things happened that he started tracing transfer of money, sale, attempted sale of his house, and all of that. So that made him get a lawyer friend involved who got the police involved. And his marriage ended. That boyfriend that the wife went to, police arrested him and his accomplice and put them in jail for between 8 and 12 years. One 8 years, one 12 years. The woman, listen, for her not to go to jail with them, it's a long story. Basically, she fell into a scam. The so-called boyfriend is a scammer. Scammed her out of her marriage and went to scam her out of her house. But the husband, who's now her former husband, worked hard between him, his lawyer, and the police and uncovered the scam and found out that she's like number... For that guy, she was like number 3, was doing it too. For that team, they've done to like 11 other people. But for her not to go... So, was she part of the scam? They now say they can't tell. It's difficult for them to tell. So, she now asked the policeman, what will happen to her? They said, it depends on you. If you want to press charges, we'll bring her in and we'll try to prove whether she was complicit or not. But if you don't want, we'll let her go. We won't bother to charge her. Now, this is the point. He settled with her with an agreement, is the agreement I'm going to, that she will have no part of his life after, his pension, he won't pay any money, and that house they tried to sell, she won't get a dime from it. So she left that place empty, so that she would not go to jail. And the boyfriend she was trying to follow turned out to be a scammer who is now in jail. So after 13 or 16 years, she lost her home, lost her husband. I don't know whether they had kids, lost everything, and had to go back to her hometown to go and look for work. If you're in that situation and you don't go mad, it was because you were mad before. Yeah. Why that girl didn't go mad? Because she was mad before. She was already crazy because what she did, she already was crazy. Where I'm going is that someone you say, madness, a family. And you want to go and investigate, what was this guy like before? See, brethren, what you should investigate? Or this guy, is this faith genuine? Because the blood of Jesus does cleanse away from all iniquity. Do you get my point? These are the things, you see, without those things in our hearts, brethren, whatever you hear, you heard anything. No? You don't do that. I dreamt when I woke up that morning, I just saw his picture. See, if you have idols in your heart, idols can give you dreams. If you don't, listen to me, if you don't cleanse your heart, you can't hear God well. You can't. So, again, all of this is not our main message I brought for you today. Let me go back to the original message. I've just dropped something on the side. Is have good expectation for your life. What did I say?
Have good expectations for your life.
No matter how bad things look, straighten up. Be deliberate. You know what David said? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your faith in God. That is, a Christian is not allowed to be downcast. If you are downcast, it's because your hope is not in God. Your hope is in maybe your husband, your wife. Is in your children. Your hope is in your certificate. Your hope is in the environment. It is forbidden. Believers, you can't be downcast. I give you the word of the Spirit of God today. thou shalt not be downcast. Thus says the Lord, do not be downcast. Don't let anything weigh you down. Don't let failures weigh you down. Don't let challenges weigh you down. Don't let the troubles around weigh you down. Don't let difficulty weigh you down. Don't let the things that you have to accomplish weigh you down. Do not let the fear of tomorrow weigh you down. Some people say to them, what is there to celebrate? There are things you must never say to God. They say it's your birthday. Are we celebrating? He said, what is there to celebrate? Now, if you said that, you need to repent. Now, that repentance, John said, you will bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I command you by the Spirit of God, call a party. Yes. Gather your friends at the mall. Let them sit at the food court. Go collect money. Spend it. See what I said? We said, brethren, it's my best day. I just called 10 of you, 12 of you. Let's celebrate together. God has been good to me. Even though the victory does not blossom, God has been good to me. Tell them, even though there's no fruit in the vine, God has been good to me. Say, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Don't let anybody discourage you. I said, if I tell the story of those days, I walked with boldness across Lagos. God, I look back now, it was not me. It was the Spirit of God working in me. And that same Spirit is what I'm imparting to you this morning. Have confidence. Go to work with a smile. Go to work with a smile. This is not personal. It's their problem. Tell them it's their problem. The hope of the believer is creative. Somebody is going to tell you that, listen, you don't know what is going on. Tell them, I know more than you know. I know more than you realize. I have seen the end because my God, He creates the end and declares it from the beginning. He said, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. So no matter what, everything is working out for my good. Tell them, everything is working out for my good. People sit down and tell you the circumstances of life. Tell them, in it, everything is working out for my good. Remember, what do you do? Straighten up. Lift your head. Do that literally. Enter your house with your chest out and your chin lifted. What's going on? Say, God is good. It is forbidden that we take our joy in physical things. Because they fail. They fail. It's forbidden we take our joy in physical accomplishments. Rejoice in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Again, I say what? Rejoice. Rejoice. Many people have seen trouble. They've seen trouble. But the man preached to me. He said, Job was placed in the Bible to cure the backsliding of the saints forever. That day he preached, I cried for an hour. While my wife was pregnant, 8 months, the baby died. She was supposed to deliver the following month. That month, she went into labor, baby was dead. You think it was funny? It wasn't. I remember people asked me, what happened? All I could do was cry. Then I went for that meeting. And this man began to preach. And he said, Pastor Banky, the ways of the Lord are wonderful. Are they not? He called my name. Then he began to preach. And he talked about Job. When he finished, he said, after Job, God removed the excuses for anybody to backslide. I think I've spoken enough. Bow down your heads. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Begin to give the Lord thanks. I'm going to give you thanks to give thanks.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Greatest thing he has done for us is the knowledge of himself. He's a God that can change yesterday. That's what I know. That's what I understand. There's nothing too difficult. I've heard preachers preach and say, even God can't change yesterday. You just say something is too difficult for him. No, he can change yesterday. He will go to yesterday and make what looks bad produce so much good today, even you will not want it changed. Yeah, that's what he does. That's why he's God. Thank him. He said, for everything, give thanks. There's a scripture in everything. But he also said, for everything, give thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Somebody listen to me. You see, the thing that hurt you the most, the thing that hurt you the most in this life, because you start giving thanks for that. Why? Because in the midst of thanksgiving, God brings that. Look, except the seed of wheat dies, it abides alone. God said that's the place of death. But the way that seed dies is where the new one grows out from. We water it with thanksgiving. Disappointments, pains, troubles, losses. What people have called things that you know, they say post-traumatic stress disorder. No, today we are doing thanksgiving and curing trauma. Why should you have post-traumatic stress? Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Say, put your hope in God. Why are you downcast? You should not be downcast. You should put your hope in God. Bless the Lord this morning. Bless the Lord this morning. Please count it. All the things that look like they have been bad, thank the Lord for it. Say, Lord, thank you. Because indeed, he says, he makes all things work together for those who love God. He makes all things work together for those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Say, Lord, everything is working out for my good. Everything is working out for my good. I thank you. Everything is working out for my good. Say, I bless the Lord at all times. It's an instruction. His praise will continually be on my lips. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Say, my soul will exalt in the Lord. He said, the humble will hear it and rejoice. Say, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, begin to declare to the Lord, good is coming to me. This morning, be filled with the Spirit. Many years ago, the Spirit jumped out of the pages of a book into my face and into my heart. He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I am speaking to somebody today. God said, where you are, I am bringing prosperity to you in that place. It will be so abundant, you will look and say, who begat me all of this? Indeed, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Give the Lord thanks this morning. I want you to put the words of hope on your lips. Begin to declare. It's meditation and declaration. Say, good is coming to me. Say, good is coming to me. Good is coming to me. The Lord will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things, and I will abound to every good work. He said, the Lord is making all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things, I will abound to every good work. He is the Lord. He makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. He is the Lord. Say, I'm the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Oh, today I think God is creating missing parts. Things that doctors said were impossible, God is going to do them in somebody's life in the name of Jesus Christ. The impossible has become possible. Yeah, because he's the God of all flesh. There is nothing too hard for him to do. Oh, Lord, thank you. Let me just give you a few more minutes. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise.